Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. Today you find us in a series called Ancient Wisdom. Every day we have many decisions to make. At each crossroads, we can try things on our own and lean into our own wisdom, or look to God for what He might say. When we try to do things on our own, it tends to not go very well. When we follow God's wisdom, we find that the path is true and good. We'll talk more about how this plays out in life during the month of June. Follow along, and we hope you enjoy this message. We are going to be in week two this morning of what are you laughing at? The fact that I'm just right here? Okay. We're not going to giggle. Guys, I figured I'd be on the floor this morning because there's a few less of you in the room. I don't know if you've realized this, but there's still more right now at Adams Mill. This is kind of crazy. How many of you have been to Adams Mill this morning? Or not this morning, but like at all? Okay, there's 7 middle schoolers at Adams Mill right now. Everybody's sleeping in because of the rain or on vacation. I know, it's kind of crazy. So they're hanging out with 7 middle schoolers. We got a little more than that, but I thought I'd come down on the floor and hopefully you can see me. Might have a little more crowd participation this morning. All right, we'll see how it goes. Last week, Jesse Taylor, one of our summer interns, he kicked off our series, Ancient Wisdom. Would you like that sweet little scroll that we found with some ancient carvings? Ancient wisdom, talking about wisdom that is from God. So when we use the term ancient wisdom here for our purposes, we're really talking about godly wisdom, but ancient kind of sounded like, oh, mysterious title. And so we're talking about wisdom that comes from the Lord and is specifically found in the scriptures, which, if you didn't know, this is thousands of years old, okay? Not the actual Bible that you have in your hand, although maybe some of you have a really big Bible that looks like it's a couple thousand years old in your house. But these things were written in the original languages of Hebrew and Aramaic, and that's the Old Testament. The New Testament was written in Greek now thousands of years ago, which is pretty crazy. And so we're going to look to it, though, because just because it's ancient, just because it's old, doesn't mean that it's not useful anymore. In fact, when we see places in the Bible where the term ancient is used, it typically means, hey, it's ancient, not because it's old, but because it's old and it's been around for a long time and it's been proven over a long period of time to be true, to be right. That this ancient wisdom is wisdom that we shouldn't soon forget. That in fact, when we forget it, that's actually when we find ourselves in some of the most destructive places and paths that we could go on. So we opened up our series last week. I was down at Adams Mill and Jesse was up here talking about God's wisdom. And the big idea for this series is simply this. It's choosing God's wisdom over our own. That there is wisdom that we can seek from the Lord that helps us know what's the right direction, what's the right path, what is good and true, and we can seek it from Him, but we are very tempted and easily swayed to try to go our own way and figure things out on our own, especially in the culture that we live in today, which tells us that we must be competent on our own, that it's actually not a good thing if you have to ask for help, that it's actually a shameful thing if you can't figure things out on your own, but that's not true at all. We are people who are meant to be in community with one another so that we can help one another. And we're meant to be in community with God so that we might receive His help and direction in all things. And so that's what we're talking about. That was an overview last week. And then the next several weeks through the month of June, we're going to be talking about specific areas in our lives where we need God's wisdom. And so this morning, the place that we're talking about is our words. That we need God's wisdom when it comes to our words, that we need to seek God's wisdom so that we know how to choose and use our words wisely, how to choose and use our words wisely. So if you want to, you can open up your Bible to Proverbs chapter, actually, we're going to be in Ephesians. Let's be in Ephesians first. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll go to that Proverbs passage in a little bit. But Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to be in verse 29. We'll get there in just a second. How many of you played sports, or maybe you do play sports, but at some point in your life, you've been on a sports team? Has anybody done that? Okay, a lot of you. Maybe you played for the YMCA. Maybe you played a little Upward before COVID times where Upward doesn't exist. I don't know if that's exactly true, but it feels like. Don't hear much about Upward anymore. Maybe you played for Simpsonville First Baptist. Maybe you play for your school right now, for your home school right now, or maybe you just play on a travel team or something like that. My boys are playing sports, all right? Right now, Owen, who's our 7-year-old, he's playing flag football. So we had a game yesterday at the YMCA, now at our Adams Mill location. And then my son Samuel, he's our 5-year-old, he's playing T-ball, and he played down there as well yesterday. So guys, I was at church at Adams Mill last week. Monday, we had park day there. Tuesday, we had t-ball practice. Thursday, we had flag football practice. And then Friday, we were actually there 6 days this past week. Friday, we had a game for t-ball. And then Saturday, we had a game for flag football and t-ball. So we were there 6 out of 7 days. This is getting taxing already. I think we're done with sports after this year. Just kidding. If our boys want to play it, we'll make it work. But one of the things that we've done over the years with our boys, and we still kind of do it, they've kind of gotten a little bit away from it, but I feel like they still sometimes will look to us for it, is when they like make a play, like something good, or they do something bad, one of the things that they have done over the years is they look to us, me and my wife. My wife is right back here. This is Brittany, if you don't know. That's my wife. We've been married for 11 years. And one of the things that the boys will do is they'll look to us for some sort of like affirmation or confirmation, or like, is everything okay? And so what I started to do is like just giving him a thumbs up. And when Owen was younger, especially like playing basketball, or when he tried his hand at soccer or whatever, he would look over and I'd be like, yeah, buddy, you're doing okay. Like if you made a good play, awesome. If you messed up, it's okay. Pick yourself up and keep going. Like just some sort of affirmation. And he would give a little thumbs up back, like sweet little Owen giving a thumbs up. And Samuel started to do it too. He picked up on it. But like that's something that we all need. Whether we're going through a high time or a low time, like we need somebody to look to who's going to tell us like, hey, everything's okay, or you're doing great, or get back at it. Like you can do it, buddy. Maybe you have some moments like that as you look back over your life where you've needed that affirmation too. And it's not just for our boys and for us as people that we need like some sort of, hey, thumbs up, even though that's great. But a lot of times we don't realize just how powerful our words are in some of those moments as well. Like when my son makes a mistake and doesn't catch a football and he gets really upset at himself. Like Owen, maybe you can relate to this. Owen wants to know that he is good and that he's doing good. Like at all times, he wants to know that he's doing good things and that he is a good kid. And so he needs that regular affirmation. Like, yeah, buddy, you're doing great. I know you dropped the ball, but you can get it next time. Like brush it off and move on. You got to have a short memory. You got to just be able to reset so you can go back out there, catch the ball. Or for Samuel, to go back out there and hit the ball, or to catch it with your glove or whatever it is. Like we need, words are incredibly powerful, not just thumbs up, hand motions, body language. Words are incredibly powerful in those moments too. And The truth is, the more that I parent, and hopefully you guys don't find this out for a really long time, okay? Don't have a kid anytime soon. But one day, you guys, God willing, will have kids, and you'll start to realize just how powerful your words are, not only in those moments of sporting events, but in all things. That the things that you say, that these little kids, their little ears are picking up on, and those words are being imprinted on their hearts. Maybe you've caught this with your little siblings. It's another level when you're a parent. And one of the things that we like to say in our house that has helped me realize, man, this is imprinting on their hearts, because now they're starting to say the same thing back, is when my kids hear bad words, yes, sometimes bad language comes up. When we're out and about, or maybe they hear it, you know, on some show or something, it's like, hey, just because somebody else says it doesn't mean we have to. And that's one of the phrases that we use in our house. And, you know, sometimes we got to talk a little more than that. But one of the quick phrases we use is, just because somebody else says it doesn't mean we have to. And one of the times when I realized, hey, my words aren't just like good dad words of wisdom that, you know, hopefully are catching on, but no, they're actually starting to settle in the hearts of my boys. One of the times I started to realize that was I'm scrolling through my phone, trying to delete pictures and video to make space on my phone, because my phone's telling me I'm capped out with my storage. And my boys will take random videos, random pictures. So it's not uncommon for like the thumb to be over the camera, or just the camera to be completely dark or whatever. And so I'm like, I got to delete these. Well, I came up on like a 25-second video that I was like, oh, this is one that I'm going to delete because it was dark. But then I played it and I listened to it. And it was a reminder that the words that I use, the words that me and my wife use around our boys, really are making an impact and really are settling in their hearts. And I brought that little video this morning if you want to go ahead and play it, tech team. There's not really anything to see, but listen to the words. There's the really messy room.
And
on his little feet. So it may have been kind of hard to hear, but that's little Samuel saying, this is like a year ago. And he goes, one thing, Owen, and they're both my boys, okay? And so they both have the same dad. That's kind of how that works. But Samuel says, my dad says, okay, which is like, buddy, I'm your dad, both of you, okay? But it's your dad. But anyway, he says, my dad says, when someone says a bad word, we don't have to say it. All right, so he's kind of in his own little way. That was when he was 4 years old. He's like parroting the things that we've been trying to instill in them. And again, it was this reminder that, man, the things that we say to these guys are settling into their hearts. And the truth is, you guys don't have to have kids to realize that our words are really powerful. And that the things that we say to people, good and bad, end up in some ways hitting at the heart. Maybe you felt this yourself, not just with the words you used against somebody else, but the words that somebody's used against you, or even the words that you've spoken to yourself. Maybe in a time when you were really down on yourself, a time when you were frustrated with yourself, a time where you were like, how come I keep going back to these same things? There's an old phrase that I don't think holds any weight, and it's sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's actually couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, yeah, sticks and stones can break your bones. But that second part especially, words do hurt. And they do stick with you. And they can manifest in deep wounds. Our words have real power. And the scriptures, multiple times, not just in the two passages that we're going to look at today, bear that out. That we need to be people. If we are people who are going to seek God's wisdom when it comes to our words, that we need to be people who use our words wisely. Consider the things that we're saying. Consider when we're saying it, how we're saying it, what the things are that we're saying to the people around us and to ourselves. So we're going to look in a couple passages this morning that kind of draw out that idea. One of the things, or one of the places we're going is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I asked you guys to turn there in your Bibles. And remember, Ephesians is a book that was written by the Apostle Paul, and it was written when he was in prison. And he's writing it to a church, the church in Ephesus, some people who were Christians, and he's writing the second half. There's only six chapters in the book of Ephesians, and the final three chapters, so 4, 5, and 6, are basically about like, hey, here's how to be a Christian around each other. Like, here's actually how to live this life out. And one of the things that Paul's writing from prison, where he doesn't know, like in some ways, this is kind of like maybe in his mind, it could be some of his last words. Like, what are some of the most important things that I can share with people that I'm going to write to them? And he writes about how to use their words, specifically to use their words wisely. And so if you look in chapter 4, verse 29, here's what Paul says. He says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. This is where I'm going to ask for a little bit of audience participation. I want you to read that verse. We're going to keep it up on the screen for you. Or if you want to read it from your own Bible, you can. I'll read it one more time, and I want you guys to give me some language. Like, give us some maybe more modern-day language. What is Paul saying in this verse right here? Let me read it one more time. It says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So take another like 30 seconds or so, read through that verse on your own, maybe jot down something that sticks out to you if you're journaling, which I always encourage that. Then I'm gonna take some answers from the crowd. What are you seeing in this verse? Distracting everybody. All right, what you guys got? Anything? Yeah. Hey, buddy. All right. That's sweet that you can do that. I wish I could. All right. Anything sticking out from that verse? Pretty straightforward. Don't overthink it. Not trying to ask you to read between the lines and find something that's not immediately there when you glance at it. But what's this verse saying? Does anybody want to sum it up for us? Ben, is this a real answer? Okay, hey, Ben. Ben, do you want to go sit next to my wife so she can make sure that you don't distract anybody? No. All right, we'll leave you there then, okay? Let's try to stay on topic. Anybody else want to sum up this verse? Yeah, sure, Izzy. Yeah, that's great. I don't know that we need to say much more than that. That, like, yeah, the words you say, remember, he's talking to Christians. And so in some ways, these words are like directly to us, to you. If you would say, no, I'm somebody who trusts in Jesus, that our words have real power and that they should be used for positive things. The word that Paul uses here is to build up, which kind of means it can be used in another way too. That we can actually use our words to tear down, or we can use our words to build up. That we can use our words to encourage, or we can use our words to discourage. That we can use our words to just like hype somebody up and, man, I'm with you, I'm for you. And we can use words to make people feel like absolute garbage. Paul says, no, for the Christian, that we should be careful with our words. We should be wise with our words. We should choose words that build up. And that when we do, what's his phrasing of it? He says here, as is good for building up, it as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. That when people hear your encouraging and positive words, that it's going to be a breath of fresh air. That it's going to be grace that doesn't just come from you, but actually is coming from the Lord. That as you follow his wisdom in how to use words, that you're actually dispensing God's grace to people who hear it. Let's look. We'll go over now to Proverbs, if you want to turn there. It's more in the middle of your Bible in the Old Testament, or you can just follow along on the screen. Another passage to get a similar idea along, or another verse to get a similar idea out. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. I'm going to read this. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to read it on your own. We'll kind of do the same thing. What do you see in this verse? Like I said, they're pretty similar, so don't think too hard. Verse 21 of Proverbs chapter 18 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Read it one more time, then you read it on your own. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits."